Okay, good morning. Good morning. Well, we're getting into a little bit of fall weather, and that's always nice. Let's begin this morning's worship with a word of prayer, and then Brian will come forward and lead us into a song. So, yeah, there he is. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, how thankful we are for your word. We praise your word. It is to us, Heavenly Father, the guiding light. It reveals to us you, your Son, your Spirit, your plan. So, Father, we just thank you for it. And we thank you, Father, for the dispensation we live in, the dispensation of the local church, where we can assemble and have fellowship, encourage one another, fellowship with one another. And then, Heavenly Father, study your word together. We pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen.
Hi, would you all please join us in turning the hymn book to When the Roll is Called Up Yonder, Psalm number 503.
This is our gift of eternal life in Romans 5.
Song number 503, When the Roll is Called Up Yonder. 503.
I'm not going to comment. Okay. Let's see. We have several things we want to talk about this morning. First of all, Lily Reves, Romeo's wife, came through the surgery very well, as you know, and is now in about at least a month to 2 months of recovery. And she is staying with her daughter, Hazel, and Nathan. And so it'll be to take food over is just not going to work for them and for us. And so if you would like to be a part of the family and help, she'll be down out of work for 2 months. And we as a church have already helped her take care of some of the rent responsibility during one of those months that she'll be out. And if you'd like to help with the food, and what's going to work best is for us to take some gift certificates to something like Whole Foods or somewhere. And so if you would like to do that, please give your money to Eve Wolcott. Eve, raise your hand. There you are. Okay, that's Eve. And she'll take and we'll get it to her. So please let's be a part of the family and do that. And if however you had anticipated making food and you've already made it, you can bring that over to my house and we'll take care of that. But other than that, let's see if we can help in that respect. Secondly, John Hintz is doing very well. It's going to be a couple of months recovery for John and his whole hip replacement and all the problems that were involved, because he already had a lot of hardware inside of his body, and they had to get everything sifted in, put in, and that was the surgeon's big problem. Before he went in, he said, "I don't know if we're going to be able to slip the new hip and everything in with all that you've got in there," but it turned out everything just kind of fell into place the way you like it to, I guess, if you're a mechanic, just kind of slip in there and right where it belongs. So now he's got to recover. So please be in prayer for John and Judy and his recovery and for our Tucson Bible Church. Let's see. Let's continue to be in prayer for Thomas. Thomas, how are you doing? Tired? All right. Well, if you fall asleep during class, I'll throw this at you and wake you up. All right. What's going on?
Well, we go to the doctor on Tuesday for a monthly report, because it's the first time we've done a whole month.
Okay.
We did steroids again, and he's got some lung issues reoccurring, so we don't know if that's some of the graft versus host coming back in the lungs or not. So just be in prayer that it's not, that it goes away. Because there was a lot of things going around school, sore throats, and then it's leading into congestion. It could just be that, but I don't know. It's a pattern we see.
People, if you learn anything here, especially in our study of John 17, prayer is powerful. Now, sometimes you may get discouraged about prayer. Well, I prayed this. I prayed I win the lottery. I didn't. I prayed I get a new car. I didn't. I prayed my kids would make A's. They didn't. I prayed this. I prayed that. And it just prayer doesn't work. Well, when we pray in line with the plan of God, He cannot help but answer the prayer. Prayer is powerful. And so it behooves us to be constantly in prayer. And so let's just constantly be in prayer for Thomas. I know he is on. None of us can pray for everything, everybody, every day. We have days we pray for things, but every day Thomas is in my prayer. And I just hope that he'll be constantly in your prayer, and that God will continue to heal his young body and give him strength in school and all. So please be in prayer for young Thomas.
One more thing, and he's getting a second brace for his left leg now this week. The brace for the right leg really helped.
Really helped, good.
3 weeks, left leg started hurting pretty bad.
Okay.
It's got worse, and when he wakes up, they hurt. They
wow. Now, do you wear the braces in bed where you sleep, or you take them off at night? Just take them off at night, wear them to school.
Mainly for support when he's up.
Okay.
You're sitting.
Yeah,
support.
Okay.
It's basically when he's up and walking. So it's pretty much when he goes to school, and then he pulls it off when he comes home.
Very good.
You can see on the right leg where it's literally reconstructed the way the bone works. You know, you can see it, and now we're hoping that works for the left, at least to give him a little comfort until.
Fantastic strength to support. Give him support. Yeah, great. Well, we'll be in prayer for that. And there's a, yes, yes, no, fine, fine.
My dad had his knee replacement surgery last week, and we forgot to put him on the prayer list.
Oh, wow, okay.
Doing well.
Johnny's doing well. Okay. Where is he right now, today? He's in a rehab hospital. Okay. Good. Very good. Okay. Yes, sir. Yes. Wow. You didn't tell me. I'd have been there. I'd have been there. Yeah. Good.
We had about 20 people show up in the morning, and we had over 30 people show up in the afternoon.
Wow.
And they were all different. So we had over 50 students come to our group. And I was looking on Facebook, and everybody was posting about it, and they were saying how excited they were.
Fantastic.
And so, it was a really awesome meeting. We were really
fantastic.
So I thank you for that, but I also ask that we continue to
be in prayer. Okay. Keep us posted. Keep us posted. Julie, how's your prayer meetings going? Are your Bible studies?
This week we have one more subscription. There are some people who cannot come, but they ask to be on the calendar so they get the commentary.
Yeah. I'll talk with you then. Good. All right. We'll continue to be in prayer. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Two friends. Our neighbor just went through a really nasty family divorce situation. His name's Brian. We did prayer for him and his daughters. And a daughter and son. Daughters and son. Bad situation. And then another friend of mine that was coming is Jeremy. He had heart chest pains on Friday. And I think the emergency room seems like he's okay right now, but I think it's stress.
You think it was stress related?
I guess I'm too tough on him as his boss. But I'm like, there's no way that I induced that.
Very good.
So it's God's, it's one of those things where God's gone, okay, you're going to be sick, but there's a reason for it.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Yes, sir.
I'd like to put Javier Medina on our prayer list.
The last name?
Medina.
Well, our major prayer for Javier will be the Holy Spirit convict him of the gospel.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then we'll pray that the economic and the other things will take care of it.
God's will be done and that God will open the door for that family.
Yeah.
Have a job.
Yeah. So we'll definitely be in prayer for Javier and his family. Any other prayer requests? Please, yes.
I was just going to mention, Chris is going to have a youth meeting on the 30th. We moved his
Yeah. Now, these hers or are these for us to buy? These are hers. Oh, she bought them. Oh.
Actually, Cameron is modeling one of the final shirts.
There you are. All right, very good. That's right, the 30th, we're having the meeting, and everyone is invited with encouragement to be there. See what's going on in 2012 and in 2013. Very good. Yes. Oh.
She's been sick for a while, but Tana's traveling to Arkansas.
To Arkansas, yeah. All right.
I didn't know if her mom was on the prayer list or not. But
do you know her mother's name? I don't.
It's on the list, but I forget what her name is.
Okay.
Yeah. She's going through some cancer.
We'll kind of highlight it this next week then. Yeah. Good, yeah. All right, thank you. And please be in prayer for Judith's mother, Christine. She's just going through some really, really rough time. And it's very interesting. Judith goes and sees her mother twice a week, and Friday and Saturday, and she's just met just some really, really interesting people, and it's amazing who's a believer in spite of the difficulties of life. And just tell them about Christine's roommate. And she's been that way
her whole life.
Believes in Jesus Christ, and just amazing, yeah. And any other prayer requests? Okay, let's please let's remember these. Let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Now, Father, we bring all these names before the throne of grace. For you're omniscient, benevolent, mercy. Consider each one, Heavenly Father, according to your plan and to your purpose. Father, we fervently pray for Javier that your Spirit will so convict him of the words that Brian has given to him in dealing with the truth of the gospel. Father, we pray for the youth group, the Camerons and involved in at the school, that your Spirit will use that. Father, if just one teenager comes to know Jesus Christ as Savior, it will be so praiseworthy. And Father, all these other prayer requests that we have, that you will consider each one, Heavenly Father, and answer them according to your glory, according to your grace. Father, we pray for Thomas, the strength, and just everyone that's been requested here, Father, that your benevolence will answer them in such a way, Father, that your glory is seen. Father, we thank you for this humble assembly. We thank you for all of the many outreaches you've given us, and the internet right here, publications, missionaries, youth, so many, Father, and we just put our cup out and just pray, Father, that you will continue to use this assembly. And therefore, Father, we pray that you'll receive the offerings that we're about to give, and that you will use them to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen.
Is that all of your Bible?
It is.
Can you read the next one? told Herman that I would be brief, but I didn't define the word. Thank goodness all the singers showed up today. I heard your voice, Cameron, that deep voice. Is that a cold or are you really that good? Oh, he's that good. I passed this sheet out. It's a little awkward because I'm going to ask you to remain seated while you sing. So you're going to have to get it out, as they say. This is the chorus to the song I'm going to be singing. If you don't know it, sing it anyway. And you'll know it by the time we finish. I was on the internet the other day, and I was listening to Jimmy Dean, you know, Big Bad John. And he was asked to quote a poem, and I liked the poem so much, I rewrote some of the words. And I did like the poem. The title of that poem's at the bottom down here. And I'm going to quote that poem before I sing. You know, I never did make a fortune, and I guess it's a little late now, but I never did worry much about it. No, shoot, I was happy anyhow, because you see, as I've journeyed down life's road, I have reaped a lot more than I have sowed, and I'm drinking from my saucer, because my cup has overflowed. Now, I'm not a man of riches, no, sir. And sometimes the going gets kind of tough, but I've got a Savior that died for my soul, and His Spirit lives within, and He's always standing with me. That makes me rich enough. I thank the Lord for all these blessings, the mercies He has bestowed. I'm drinking from my saucer, 'cause my cup has overflowed. And oh, I've had lots of times when it seemed everything went wrong. I could feel my faith, well, just getting kind of thin. But the rain would stop and the clouds would be rolled away. So, Lord, don't let me gripe too much about the rough row I've hoed, because I'm drinking from my saucer, because my cup has overflowed. And now, Lord, if you can just keep giving me the strength I need and the courage. When that old road gets steep and tough, I'll not ask for any other blessings, because I have been blessed more than enough. And, oh, Lord, don't ever let me get so busy that I can't help another with their load. And I'm just keep on drinking from my saucer, because my cup has overflowed. I thank you, Lord, that I'm drinking from my saucer, because my cup has overflowed. Sound that saved a poor sinner like me. Though once I was lost, yet now I am found. Though I was blinded, now I see. And it's all because of God's amazing grace. Because on Calvary's mountain He took my place. Someday, some glorious morning, I shall see Him face to face. All because of God's amazing. Disappointments through dangers too, through labors and sorrows we've come. But God's grace has guided safely through, and it will surely lead me home. And it's all because of God's amazing.
someday, some glorious morning, I shall see him face to face, all because of God's amazing grace. Then with the ransom around God's throne, we will praise our Redeemer, our King. We will tell how his mercies ascended at home through countless ages. This song will sing.
Would you stand?
And it's all because of God.
Thank you very much, James. Thank you, Wes. That was beautiful. Yes. Where did it go? Oh, wow. Okay, let's be in prayer. Patricia's back. And bless her heart, she's been through enough. But okay, we'll pray for her back. And Jerry, you can't have her out there doing the work on the horse, the cows, and the tractor and everything. We'll definitely be in prayer. Thank you very much. Yes. And well, with that, I want to tell Rick Hallett, we're glad you're back. Hope everything went well. The salute, final salute to your dad. And was it enjoyable in the sense of all the things you learned and saw? Good. Okay. Let's open God's Word. On our way to Romans 5, if you'll open the Word of God to 2 Peter 3, please. 2 Peter chapter 3. We're getting ready, moving toward our study in the book of Daniel. I do not recommend too many books for you to read, but I want to recommend one for your consideration, and I'll explain why. It's called Obama's America, Unmaking the American Dream. It is by Dinesh, D-I-N-E-S-H, D-I-N-E-S-H, D, that's a capital D with an apostrophe, Sousa, S-O-U, capital S-O-U-Z-A, Dinesh Sousa. Barnes & Noble's have them for 20% off. If you're a member, 40% off. Why? I don't want you to read this for politics. Those who have gone through Revelation here know that I and many people, me evangelicals, do not believe that America is going to be a major player in the tribulational period. And we also believe, and it's increasing, believe that the rapture is close. Certainly, I believe it's in Thomas's and Cameron's lifetime, if not in mine. But how? How can America, huh? How can America not be a player? We're the most powerful nation on earth. We're the richest nation on earth. How can it not be a player? That's why I'm recommending this book. Because I want you to see from this just one example. This is just a whole book for one example. It's easy reading. Nice print, and It's 224 pages. It's so easy to see how so quickly this nation can become a third world country. All you have to do is totally bankrupt it. That's all you have to do. We think, doesn't he know, doesn't the president know, you can't keep borrowing so much more than you bring in? He knows this very well. He knows it very well. He knows 2 and 2 is 4. He knows that. And that's his plan. This is the author, the writer of the movie 2016. But forget that. This is what I want you to think about. How can it happen that America would not be a player in the tribulation if it is soon? We're so powerful. Surely we would be a major player. Not if we have nothing. So, I highly suggest you read it. Recommend you take that time to take a look through it. And it's powerful. It's scary. But we don't fear. We know who's in control. One of the most important things you're going to learn from Daniel: God is in control. God is faithful. You put those two together, we have no fear. No fear of anything. Man, anything man can do to us. So, I'm going to be, in the next few weeks, be giving you stuff in class, handouts, and then the week before or 2 weeks before, some suggested reading in the Bible, and just get ready for the book of Daniel. And it's just going to be so powerfully important for where we are in prophecy. Not just American history, where we are in prophecy. This has become so important. Okay, let's prepare ourselves. Yes. Tolerance and peace. You can't make a movie. We won't let you do that anymore. All right. Let's begin with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how thankful we are that you are in control of all things. You raise up kings. You take kings down. You're in control of our lives. You are our trust. You are our only trust. If we were trusting in America, we no longer trust in America. You're our only trust. The rock of Jesus Christ. He's the foundation of our walk, the foundation of our life. Father, I pray that your Spirit will guide us through our study this morning, that we might see what all you've done in history for us. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. We've been a little while in Romans 5, and I know that. And to some it may seem just kind of a dragging. But people, I think Romans chapter 5 is one of the most difficult chapters in all the Bible. I think there are other verses, but as far as a whole chapter, it is the most difficult chapter in the Bible. I would like us to read together 2 Peter chapter 3, and let's read together verses 15 and 16. Verse 15. And regard the patience of our Lord to be salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, the Apostle Paul, according to the wisdom given him by God the Holy Spirit, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort as they do, also the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction. Hard to understand. People, all doctrine is not hard to understand. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. A child can understand. I understood that at 7. Can understand that. But there are doctrines, things in the Bible that are difficult to understand. There are aspects that are virtually impossible. And people, I'm talking about even with the Holy Spirit. You can have the indwelling of the Spirit, but if He has nothing upon which to build what's going on in the Word, to build on it, you'll be lost. You have to build and build and build, and then He's ready to open your eyes and your understanding to things. So, this is what we're looking at, in my opinion, is what Peter's talking about in regard to Paul's writing. There are other aspects of Paul that are difficult, but to me, this is the most difficult. Romans chapter 5, hard to understand. Even with the Holy Spirit, the human is still difficult to understand these things, and we've got to build and build and build on them to be able for the Holy Spirit to turn the light on as regard to the truth. Now let's go to Romans chapter 5, where we left off last week. Romans chapter 5. And we are in verse 17. Romans 5, 17. For since, or if, for if, and it's a first class condition, since, by the transgression, people note the definite article, the one transgression, that's Adam's original sin, and what was that sin? Eating of the forbidden tree. Of the one Adam. Then it says, the death. Alright? That is spiritual death. Now, what is spiritual death? When we say it is separation from God, don't let that be misleading to you. It's not like you're completely separated. No, He's very much there. He's very much there. Nothing separates the creature from the Creator. What is meant that we are separated from His grace? We are separated from benefiting from our relationship with Him. That's what spiritual death is. Okay? Reign, the death, spiritual death, reign through the one, Adam. People, just as Satan ruled the world since the fall, so the inherited sin nature is the ruler in life of the human until he believes in Jesus Christ as Savior. There's parallels going on here. Since the fall, Satan has ruled. Since the fall, the sin nature, the inherited sin nature of man has ruled. Once we believe in Jesus Christ, we break that rule. Both the inherited sin nature, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our body, this counters the rule of the sin nature. It's a perfect place to see how the body influences the invisible soul. How the invisible soul influences the material body with the indwelling of the inherited sin nature. It affects our soul. It's in the body. The sin nature is not in your soul. It's in the body. It affects the soul. It's a wonderful place to see that the body affects the soul and the soul affects the body. So the inherited sin nature has been influencing your body since, or your soul since the first birth. Second birth, you receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to influence your soul. Okay, now let's move on. For since by the transgression of the one, the death reigned through the one, and that one is Adam, much more. Now you're ready for much more. Those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, and then it says in our text, will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Receiving in life is the way it should read. Now let me point out what's going on here. What you have is, the way it reads now, will reign in life. Those who receive the abundance of grace will reign in life. People, that's incorrect. That's incorrect by the language, and it's incorrect theologically. All right? What we have, receiving in life, the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, will reign through the one Jesus Christ. And people, that's very important. We'll receive, receiving in life when we believe in Christ. And what will happen if you receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness? Reign with Christ. So this is the kind of the beginning of what I want you to start understanding in this study. Okay. The phrase, well, let me just leave this on. The phrase in life that you have up here, the phrase in life, right here, in life, does not modify the verb basileo, to rule. It should not go with to rule. We'll rule in life. This phrase in life does not modify the word basileo, to rule. To reign, the preposition, the phrase in life modifies the verb lambano. That's this word up here. Receive. So the word in life down here really goes in the Greek text and theologically, it goes with receiving. Receiving in life, when you receive these things in life, you will rule with Christ. Any question on that? Is that kind of clear? What's going on in the text? So what they've done, they put the prepositional phrase in life with the verb to rule. And it should not be there. It should be in life, should be with, and will receive. So this is very important as far as our understanding the text. What is Paul speaking of? Okay, death. And what is the gracious gift? Life. These are the two things that are at play here. So we're going to have a contrast not only with the word to reign, but also with death and life. See, death reigns. Right now, what we have, death reigns, and that's from up here, the death reigned. Now what he's going to contrast that with is, those who receive these things in life will reign. That's really what he's saying. And I hope you're understanding what's going on in the text and how important it is. So we're going to have a contrast not only with to reign, but between death and life. It is not they shall reign in life. It's they shall receive in life. The ones receiving these things in life, they're the ones who will reign. Now, we spent a few moments last week in closing on that present tense of receiving, and it goes back to the whole understanding of eternal security. But I want you to be prepared for what you may be coming in touch with, because I understand it's getting fairly popular, and that is like in John 3:16, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe is a present tense, so you got to keep on believing or you lose your salvation. No, that is not true. And I want to put it on the board one more time so that it will be in your mind what's going on. This is what is called an iterative present. One by one, each one who believes throughout the ages, in reiteration. See, in other words, it can be someone who believes in Jesus Christ today. Let's say that the gentleman that Brian told us about believes in Jesus Christ today. Somebody else believes in Christ tomorrow. They will both receive these things. It's not that they have to keep on. This present shows what happens over and over and over throughout history. It can also be understood as a gnomic aorist, or present tense. What happens to anyone who believes in Jesus Christ? So, this is what we're dealing with. It's an iterative present. Now, the active voice, every person who believes in Jesus Christ receives from God this package. The participle, circumstantial. Going along with the 34 things we receive at faith in Jesus Christ. Now, to grasp this as at one act of faith in Jesus Christ. This is well documented in Romans chapter 3. We'll not take time this morning. Romans 3:21 through 4:25 to show these things. But for our seeing it in this great chapter, look at verse 1 of chapter 5. Having been justified, not being justified, having been justified by faith. So, we take all of these things, we come back down to our study. Much more, they who receive in life. This preposition and phrase counters death, which has been a great issue in chapter 5, people. Been a great issue. Look at verse 12 of chapter 5. Verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through the sin. Look at verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Verse 17, the one we're looking at, but look at verse 21 coming up. And as sin reigned in death, so death becomes a very important issue. Now, in our study, in our verse 17, we no longer have death reigning, but we receive in life. Receive in life. Okay, here's what we have going on. Eternal life is the goal of justification. We are justified that we may have eternal life, the life of God. Eternal life is the result of the imputation of righteousness. When God imputes His righteousness, we automatically receive the eternal life. And I know we've done this before in the study, but there are just certain things I just want you to have on your mind of how important they are in this study. Turn to John chapter 17. John 17. Gospel of John chapter 17. This is the Lord's Prayer. These things Jesus spoke, lifting up His eyes to heaven. Now in the Garden of Gethsemane, He will look down, prostrated on the ground. So we know these are two different prayers. He said, Jesus said, Father, the hour has... And by the way, they never called Him Father throughout the Old Testament in prayer. They knew Him as Father. They never prayed to Him as Father. You and I have the privilege. People, it's a privilege. We can say, Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, here's my request. Heavenly Father, we pray for Thomas. We talk to our Heavenly Father. Why do we have that right? Because of Jesus Christ. Father, the hour has come. Glorify Thy Son, that's the cross, that the Son may glorify Thee. Even as Thou gavest Him authority over all mankind, that to all whom Thou hast given Him, He may give eternal life. That's what He desires to give, is eternal life. Who are the ones that Father has given to Him? All who believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. All who believe in the one He sent. I sent Jesus Christ. You believe in Jesus Christ. He has the authority to give you eternal life. That's what's going on. Now look at verse 3. And this is eternal life, that they may know Thee, Heavenly Father, the only true God, not Allah, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Okay, let's go back now to Romans chapter 5. So this is what we have going on. Salvation, eternal life, is the goal of Justification, verse 1 in our study. Eternal life is the result of imputation of righteousness. Salvation and life are the same concept. They're the same concept. You receive life when you receive eternal life. When you receive salvation. When you receive salvation, you receive eternal life. This is the whole issue. Now, note the contrast. In Adam, death. In Christ, life. People, this is again, I know we had some points on it a couple of weeks ago, just to refresh you. If someone doesn't believe in Adam, they don't understand why the cross. If they don't believe in Adam, they don't understand condemnation. They do not understand why we're under condemnation. They're left with personal sins. And therefore, personal sins becomes a great issue in salvation. That's why you can lose your salvation, because of personal sins. And on and on and on. We have to think clearly about what happened on the cross. People, becoming a believer is simple. Believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're saved. I was saved at 7. I didn't have a clue to all that was going on. Didn't have a clue. But I was saved. But if we want to grasp the total of God's grace, we want to understand all these wonderful things that are going on. So, now, we come to what we receive in life. What do we receive in life? Okay, let's take a look at what we receive in life. Much more. They who receive in life, eternal life, when you believe in Christ, the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. This just sounds so wonderful. To me, as I read it, I just went, wow, what a wonderful phrase. The abundance of grace, the gift of righteousness. Don't even know what it means, but it just sounds so good. It just sounds so wonderful. Well, what does it mean? What do those wonderful phrases mean? See? People, it's wonderful to receive from God a surplus of grace. Boy, your grace has been abundant, Father. I really don't deserve any more. I have eternal life. Thank you. There's more. There's more. And I have this and this. There's more. It just is boggling to the mind, the grace of God. And that's why it's so important to understand grace, people. Grace is nothing you earn or deserve. You don't get to do something and then he responds to it, and that's grace. No, grace is what he just freely gives you. This is grace. All right, what does it refer? What is the surplus that we receive from the source of God's grace? Okay, first of all, we must go back to verse 15. Go back and look at verse 15. Chapter 5, verse 15. But the free gift is not like the transgression. For if the transgression of the one, the many, died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. The God and the gift by grace of the one man, Jesus Christ. Now note how similar these two verses are. This is something you do on your own time, when you have time, just sitting, it's raining, just sit down and look at it. Much more grace in both. Much more grace in verse 15 and verse 17. Gift freely given in both. Through the one, Jesus Christ, in both. He's just building what he's saying in this study. So what is the surplus of grace from the surplus of grace from the source of grace? Okay, after propitiation, after reconciliation, after justification, after eternal life. Stop, God, that's enough. I'm overwhelmed. I can comprehend hell. I can comprehend eternal pain. And to have, you're propitiated, I'm reconciled, justified, given eternal life. That's enough. No, it isn't. not to me, God. I've got much more for you. People, that's what kind of God we have. People have such a horrible view of God. Christians want to take salvation away from people. Oh, you can lose your salvation. They want to make it difficult. They have just a horrible view of God. They have a horrible view of God. If we humbly honest, receiving reconciliation, being justified, given eternal life, that's enough. So few people really understand the wonders of the grace of God. I used to love an old country hymn, but now, no, it doesn't work anymore. Lord, just give me a cabin in a corner of glory land, beneath the shade of the tree of life, that it may ever stand. Just give me a cabin. No, I want a mansion. You told me that's what you'd give me. You told me the much more. See? There's just something so wonderful if we can comprehend all that God has given to us. So, not only do we receive the surplus from the grace, but next we have the foundation of all blessings from God. The foundation of all blessings from God, the gift of righteousness. Now, this is one of two Greek words translated gift. And I keep bringing this up because it's all through here. Gifts all through this chapter. Grace is all through this chapter. Death is all through this chapter. Life is all through this chapter. And I know we've been a long time. But when we're through, hope you just every now and then you go back and read chapter 5 again and again to be sure you got the whole flow down correctly. Now, this word we translate the gift freely given because it comes from a verb to give. So I translate it to distinguish. There's another one translated from charis, grace, gift of grace. So we translate one, give freely given, because it comes from the verb to give, and the gift of grace, because it comes from the root of grace. We have noted from chapter 6 and Gospel of John 18 that the free gift is what? Eternal life. Eternal life. But now we have an identification of that eternal life. Perfect righteousness. Dikaiosune, meaning righteousness. I won't put the Greek on the board. It wouldn't do too much for you. Sometimes I think it will, but this won't do that much right now. Again, righteousness, people, is the fundamental issue in knowing God, in being saved. It's what was lost in the garden, and it's what is absolutely required to have eternal life with Him. See? This is essential. And it's the gift of righteousness. And while awkward in the English, it is preceded by the definite article. The gift of the righteousness is actually what the Greek says. The gift of the righteousness. Those who are receiving the gift of the righteousness. The presence of the definite article specifies this as the righteousness of God, which we have studied in so many times. Let's know just a few things to bring to memory. One, God. Got to start with Him. Don't start with man. Start with God. God is perfect righteousness. That's what God is, among many other things. But at issue now, He is perfect righteousness. And if we're ever going to have fellowship with God, we must have the righteousness of God. Point two. However, by the imputation of Adam's original sin, we are born unrighteous, without righteousness of God, totally incapable of producing anything righteous, of making ourselves righteous. Impossible. We are unrighteous. Even our righteousness are as filthy garments before Him. That's what they're like, before Him. This is the crucial thing between man and God. And I'm sorry, I am compelled. I just pray and want you to grab, understand what I believe one of the more hard, difficult passages of Paul's writing. But I'd like you to turn to Job 4. I'd like you to turn to Job 4. Job is the first book given to us. It's the first thing God wanted us to know. It lays out all the principles that are at issue throughout the whole Bible. And there are 10 questions of Job that are crucial. 4:17. Can mankind be just before God? Now you see that word just in the Greek and in Hebrew, by the way. It's the same word for righteousness. Justice and righteousness, and I'll show you this a little later, and I will put the Greek on the board for you. But just take my word for it now, that they are the same root Hebrew word and Greek word. Can mankind be just, righteous, declared just before God? Can a man be pure, meaning sinless, before his Maker, the Creator? Now, let's look at chapter 8, verse 3. I'm not going to spend any time on these, but just refresh your memory. Job chapter 8, verse 3. Does God pervert justice and all people? That is so crucial. If God saves anyone without them going through the cross of Christ, He has perverted justice. Well, you've been a pretty good old boy. You didn't beat your wife. You did pretty good. So, I got to let you in. You were a good politician. You were a good humanitarian. You were a good religious person. You did a lot of good works. No, you didn't know Christ as your Savior. And no, you didn't know a thing about the filling of the Spirit. Never were filled with the Spirit. But you were a pretty good old boy. I'm going to let you in. People, look what it says. Does God pervert justice? Does God pervert His own righteousness? Does the Almighty pervert what is right? And that's what Romans 5 is about. What is right? Coming to God through Jesus Christ. That's what is right. Look at chapter 9. Verse 2. Job says, in truth, I know this is so, but how can a man be in the right before God? How can he be righteous before God? Can't be. There's no way he can be. Look at chapter 14. Chapter 14, 4. I want you to appreciate the gift of righteousness. It's a gift. Without it, we're sunk. Chapter 14, verse 4. Who can make the clean out of the unclean? And Satan says, no one. That's in the Hebrew, no one. Those are Satan's words. Who can make the clean out of the unclean? We are born unclean. And only because of what we studied, we're born a total wreck. From our insurance analogy, we're born a total wreck, people. Who can make the clean out of the unclean? And Satan declares, no one can. Look at chapter 15. 15 verse 14. What in the world is man that he should be pure? Or he who is born of a woman that he should be righteous? Now I'm not going to go through born of a woman, but to Satan that is low. We know it is the only way we can come into being. But to Satan, that's pretty low. He was just created. But we'll worry about that some other time. But what I want you to note here is, what is man that he should be pure? What is he born of a woman that he should be righteous? That's the great issue. And look what we're studying in Romans 5. You have been given the gift of righteousness. Thank you, Father. That's all I need. No, I got more for you. More? Yeah. More. There would be times, and when I was a little boy growing up, Christmas is pretty rough. The 50s with a depressed economy. and I'd get some of, boy, this is great. This is all I need. Can I go out and play with this now? No, there's more. More? I want to go play with this. What do you mean there's more? People, God has more. He's given the abundance, superabundance, more enough grace, and now He's given the gift of righteousness. And now we take a look at chapter 25. I wish we had time for the whole chapter, but we don't. Let's look at verse 4. How then can a man be just with God? There's that word justice, righteous. How can he be clean who is born of woman? Remember, birth is a part of the curse. So, all of these things, the righteousness of God is the great issue for salvation. We lost righteousness, we became dead. Before we can have life, we've got to have the perfect righteousness. And anyone who thinks you can produce works, legalistic people, religious people, think they can produce works that will make them righteous before God. People, they deceive themselves. They don't understand God. They don't understand man. You believe that? And the reason they believe they can lose their salvation, if they commit sin, people, we couldn't even begin to hold on to our salvation. Couldn't even begin to. It's a gift freely given. You don't lose it when you are bad in sin. It's yours. This is your state of existence. But people think the thing. Religious people, legalistic people. Oh, I don't smoke. I don't chew. I don't go where the girls do. I don't do this. I don't do that. All this kind of garbage. I'm really great before God. You're deceiving yourself. You don't know God. And you certainly don't know yourself. Point 3. There are two things that cause us to see our helplessness, see our helpless condition. One is the absence of eternal life, and the second is we have no righteousness whatsoever before God. No righteousness. 4. So we're in a helpless condition, being unrighteous. And here is the grace gift of God. Here is the grace gift of God. We have seen that it is wonderful that God declared us unrighteous, because now He can give us much more. It's like the insurance company. It's wonderful that they declared our car a total wreck, a total damaged wreck, because now we get a brand new one. That's the much more with God. 5. Perfect righteousness has been the issue from Job. Has been the issue from Job, but is all the way through the Bible, and especially in the book of Romans. Take just a moment and turn back to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Let's read 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Salvation faith, faith in our life. Restoration faith. But I want you to note all the places where this whole concept of the righteousness of God perks its presence. 6. In chapter 5, it all started in verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith. What is justification? Receiving the righteousness of God, being declared justified. So by faith, Jesus Christ, faith in Jesus Christ, He graciously imputes to every believer perfect righteousness. Now, in our study, it is an important issue. It is easy for God to bless everyone in time and eternity. Why? Because He has started off with the imputation of righteousness. Because He's done that, He can now bless. Why can He give much more? Because we're justified. Because He has given us eternal life. He's given us His righteousness. So now it's easy for God to bless. He can give much more now. All that He could give us when we were sinners, all that He could give us was condemnation. That's all. Offered salvation, we take it, now He can give much more. He can give much more because now we belong to Him. All right, let's look at chapter 5, verse 17. For, since, by the transgression, Adam's original sin, of the one Adam, the death, spiritual death, reigned through the one Adam, and it did reign through Adam. Now, much more, they who receive in life, the gift that we receive, along with eternal life, the abundance of grace, or the abundance from the source of grace, and the gift of righteousness. Now we come to what those who receive this life, those who receive this grace, those who receive this gift of righteousness, what else do they get? What's the goal of all of these? What's the end or the goal or the means? Look what it says. Will reign. Future active indicative of the Greek verb basileo, and it means to reign or to rule, whichever word you like. The important thing here is to see what the Holy Spirit is setting up in this verse. Death reigned. Death reigned. Many shall reign. You see the contrast? Death reigned. Many shall reign. Okay, shall reign. It's a future active indicative. Future tense, prophetic. Prophetic. One of the most wonderful blessings to every believer is the assurance of eternal life. We do not have to worry one bit about death, whether we die in sin or not. The assurance of eternal life. We have it. It's yours because you didn't earn it. You didn't earn it. And not only are we assured of eternal life, we have many more things we're assured of. Eternal blessings. Eternal reigning with Christ. The active voice. Believers in the church age, especially those, and I'll show you this especially, those who advance to maturity. 1 Corinthians, not milk, but solid food. That's how you advance. 1 Corinthians 3, not milk, solid food. That's how you advance. The indicative mood, the assurance of our part in the millennium. This is a truth that will occur in the millennium. Now, I do not want to digress too much here, but I want to put this in as a parenthesis in our study. The judgment seat of Christ. Every one of us will come to the judgment seat of Christ. Every one of you will stand there. And sins will never be mentioned. Why? They're taken care of on the cross. Don't ever let anybody take you away from that. But they'll show you the passage where it talks about good or bad in 1 Corinthians. Good or bad. Now, what is good and what is bad to God? Bad is not sin here. Why not? All sins have been taken care of. Let me quickly give you the point. Two born-again believers can give, pray, witness, all these wonderful things out of the Holy Spirit. Bad. Another born-again believer can give, can pray, can witness, good. What's the difference? Same thing? No. One's in the Spirit, one is not. You have to know what's good and bad before God. Not what's good and bad before man. Before man, all of those are good. But not before God. This is what you have to realize. So, what we want to understand about eternity, there's going to be a lot of rewards. No equality. I want to quickly add, I always like to quickly add a parenthesis to the parenthesis. A parenthesis in the parenthetical statement. There'll be no embarrassment. There'll be no jealousy. You won't see somebody else with, oh, look at all they got up here. Look what I got. All I got's this mansion. See? Now, see, the point is, if you're filled with the Spirit here on earth, let me ask you something. Play poker. Don't answer. It embarrasses me. you're filled with the Spirit. You see somebody else in a better house. You see somebody else with better children. You see somebody else with better job. You see somebody else driving a better car. Does that bother you one bit? Not if you're filled with the Spirit. Love has no jealousy. Love is not jealous. Doesn't bother you one bit. That's a glimpse of what it's going to be like in heaven. Not only are we not going to have to counter the sin nature, the inherited sin nature, but we'll have the indwelling of the Spirit, and it won't bother you one bit, just as it doesn't now. But just let you know, there'll be different things in heaven for different believers. And it's going to come down to your time spent in the filling of the Holy Spirit. Got to know what's good and bad before God. The bad as far as sin, taken care of. Does that mean all bad? No. The sin nature, this inherited sin nature, is capable of doing good and bad. It's capable of doing good and bad. People, unbelievers do some mighty good things. I love an unbeliever that wants to be altruistic. Right here, man. Hey? I love an unbeliever that wants to be altruistic. You do my yard. Hey? That's wonderful. They're all that way. They're that way. Is that good before God? No. Is it good for us? Yes. We want all of our neighbors to be good. But it's not good before God. So, please understand the difference between good and bad. Now, getting back to what we're dealing with here. We'll reign through the one, Jesus Christ. This occurs and is talked about in Revelation 20. Let's close this morning by looking at Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 20. Verse 6, blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection, Jesus Christ and all believers of the church age. Blessed and holy. Over these, the second death, eternal damnation, has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and will reign with Him for 1,000 years. So we'll reign with Him for 1,000 years. Okay, we'll stop here and come back to this next Sunday morning. And the remainder of this chapter is not going to be that difficult, not hard to understand, because of the foundation we've laid. And so we'll be able to move a little bit faster. Not a whole lot, but a little bit. Instead of one word, we ought to get through two or three. All right, let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the truth that is laid out for us in Scripture. Some of it is hard to understand. Therefore, Father, we rely on Your Spirit to open our eyes. And we rely on the principle of building doctrine on doctrine, truth on truth. From seeing that to seeing this, that Your Spirit can open our eyes to more and more things. That Heavenly Father, we can just be so, so controlled by Your grace, by Your love, that it will control everything we do in life. There'll be no place or time for stress, anxiety, depression, because we, Heavenly Father, will be meditating on the wonderful surplus of grace, the gift of righteousness, all the wonderful things You have in store. Father, I pray Your Spirit will take the things we've seen, cause them to become a reality in our soul, and then in our lives. To this end, Father, we do pray in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen.